appropriate time has arrived. I'll call the meeting to order. Good morning and welcome, everyone. This is an open meeting of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board on June 25, 2009. We welcome those of you who have joined us today, both in person and listening to the webcast of this meeting. Today, the board will consider a recommendation to adopt an amendment to the board's rule on the frequency of inspections as it applies to certain foreign registered public accounting firms. Before we proceed, I will note for the record that all members are present at today's meeting. The first and only order of business before the board today is a recommendation that the board adopt an amendment to Rule 4003. I will now turn to Rhonda Schneer, Director of the Office of International Affairs, to present this recommendation. Rhonda.
Thank you, Chairman Olson. In December 2008, the board proposed and sought comment on Rule 4003G, which gives the board the ability to defer for up to 3 years the inspections of certain non-U.S. firms with inspection deadlines in 2009. The board also sought comment on certain proposed transparency measures and also actions that the board might take in the event of non-cooperation by a registered firm. The board received 24 comment letters in response to this proposal. Today, the staff is recommending that the board adopt, as proposed, the amendment to Rule 4003. In addition, the staff is recommending that the board implement certain related transparency measures, which I will describe in a moment. In general, the comments received were supportive of the proposed rule amendment, although some comments urged the board to permit no further delays and to adopt the board's proposal to announce at the beginning of the year all of the non-U.S. jurisdictions in which there are firms the board intends to inspect that year. These comments also supported the board's intent to sequence deferred inspections by the U.S. market capitalization of their clients and to satisfy certain criteria concerning the number of inspections to be conducted each year. Several comments also suggested that the board should utilize the additional time provided by the proposed extension to enhance its international inspection program, particularly in the areas of risk assessment and pre-inspection planning. Other comments supported the proposed rules but expressed concern that 3 years may not be enough time to overcome the legal conflicts and sovereignty concerns in all relevant jurisdictions. Some of these comments also noted that the board's plan to sequence the deferred inspections by the U.S. market capitalization of the firm's clients did not adequately take into account the varying degrees of legal conflicts present in different jurisdictions. The staff continues to believe that an extension of up to 3 years for certain firms with 2009 deadlines strikes the appropriate balance between avoiding unnecessary delays in inspections and allowing reasonable time for the board to continue its efforts to reach cooperative arrangements with its counterparts. It is the judgment of the staff that working jointly and cooperatively with our counterparts is the most effective way for the PCOB to fully accomplish its mission. Building productive relationships with our counterparts has worked well. To date, the PCOB has conducted approximately 140 inspections and 26 inspections around the world, including joint inspections in 6 countries. The amendment to Rule 4003 and the criteria I will describe in a moment would permit the board to continue the negotiations with our counterparts in the remaining jurisdictions, but with certain parameters on timing and sequencing. As explained when the amendment was proposed, it is important to understand that this extension would apply to only a narrow universe of firms. It would permit delaying only the first inspection of firms with a current 2009 inspection deadline, and only if those firms are in jurisdictions where the PCOB has not previously conducted inspections. The extension would not apply to any second inspections to any firms with current deadlines other than in 2009 or to firms in countries where the PCOB has previously conducted inspections. This amendment would not entitle any firm to an extension of time. Rather, it would give the board the discretion to defer for up to 3 years the deadlines for some of the relevant inspections. In fact, the staff is not recommending that the board delay the inspections of all the firms eligible for the extension. In considering how to allocate the inspections over that period of time without unduly delaying inspections of firms whose audit work has the broadest impact on U.S. investors, staff is recommending that the board implement its proposal to look to the total U.S. market capitalization of the firm's issuer audit clients in setting the inspection schedule. While perhaps not a perfect gauge, market capitalization is a reasonable and perhaps the most readily measurable indicator of the impact of a firm's audit work on U.S. investors. Thus, the staff recommends that the board determine the schedule for the inspections of firms subject to Rule 4003G by sequencing the eligible inspections such that certain minimum thresholds related to market capitalization be satisfied in each of the years from 2009 to 2012. In addition, the staff recommends that the board implement its proposal that it set a minimum number of inspections per year for the firms that are eligible for the extension. So specifically, staff recommends that by the end of 2009, the board would inspect firms whose combined audit client U.S. market cap constitutes at least 35% of the aggregate U.S. market cap of the audit clients of all eligible firms. By the end of 2010, the board would inspect firms whose combined audit client U.S. market cap constitute at least 90% of the aggregate. And by the end of 2011, the board would inspect firms whose combined audit client U.S. market cap would constitute at least 99.9% of that aggregate. So the third year in 2012, the board would inspect any remaining firms that are left. Along with meeting those market cap thresholds, as I mentioned, the staff also recommends that the board satisfy certain criteria concerning the number of firms that would be inspected in each year. Specifically, the staff recommends that the board conduct at least 4 inspections of the eligible firms in the pool in 2009, at least 11 more in 2010, and at least 14 more in 2011. This is because the bulk of the issuer market cap is audited by a small number of firms that would be eligible for the extension. It is important to note that the staff recommendation with regard to scheduling would not prevent an inspection from occurring earlier than called for by the schedule. Any inspection could be moved to an earlier year for a variety of reasons, such as the presence of risk factors in a particular audit engagement, the presence of significant referral work by a firm, synchronization of schedules with a local regulator for purposes of a joint inspection, or simply the opportunity to do an inspection earlier and the availability of resources to do so. In addition, the staff recommends that the board review updated market capitalization data on at least an annual basis and consider whether there have been any changes that warrant moving a particular inspection forward to an earlier year due to the change in the market capitalization of the firm's clients. The staff also agrees with the comment letter suggesting that the board utilize the additional time permitted under the extension to strengthen the technical aspects of its international inspection program and recommends that the board and its staff continue its efforts in this regard. Along with the rule amendment, the board sought comment on a proposal to maintain on the PCAOB website an up-to-date list of all registered firms that have not yet had their first board inspection, even though more than 4 years have passed since the end of the calendar year in which they first issued an audit report while registered with the board. The board received a number of comments supporting this proposal. 2 comments suggested that the board also provide regular updates on its progress in inspecting the firms subject to the extension under Rule 4003F and 4003G. Some comments suggested that the proposed list should include the reasons for the failure of the board to conduct the inspections of the listed firms within the 4-year time frame. Other comments opposed the publication of such lists. These comments expressed concern that the list could unfairly impugn the quality of the work of listed firms even though no inspection has taken place. Some comments also suggested that the list could cause a loss of investor confidence in the listed firm's clients or in other audit firms and jurisdictions with firms on the list. Several comments also suggested alternative transparency measures, such as listing firms that have been inspected or listing the jurisdictions where inspections have not yet been conducted, rather than listing the firms. The staff recommends that the board proceed as proposed in December with respect to the list of firms not inspected despite the passage of 4 years since they issued an audit report after registering with the board. The staff believes that this list provides appropriate transparency in light of the expectation created by the Act and the board's rules about the frequency of inspections. The board believes that listing firms that have been inspected does not accomplish the same goal, and that it would be inappropriate to list only the jurisdictions where firms have not been inspected, because in some jurisdictions, some firms may have been inspected while others have not. In order to avoid any unwarranted inferences about the quality of audit work performed by the firms on the list, staff recommends that the board preface the list with language stating that no inferences should be drawn about the quality of the listed firm's audit work, its systems, policies, procedures, practices, or conduct or about the strength of the firm's home country oversight system. Staff does not believe it would be appropriate to explain why each firm is included in the list, as the board may not always know all of the reasons for a firm's position with respect to an inspection demand. Rather, the staff recommends that the list's prefatory language also note that no inferences should be drawn from the list about the reasons for a firm's inclusion on the list. Staff agrees with those comments suggesting that the board should provide regular updates about its progress in inspecting the firms whose inspections are deferred pursuant to Rules 4003F and G. The staff therefore recommends that the board announce biannually its progress toward the thresholds I've described with regards to the number of firms to be inspected and the aggregate market capitalization of firm clients. Finally, the staff recommends that the board implement its proposal to announce publicly at the beginning of each year through 2012 those jurisdictions in which there are firms that the PCOB intends to inspect in that year. The board has already posted the list of jurisdictions for 2009 on its website. In the proposing release, the board announced that it would not remove a jurisdiction from that list without publicly explaining the reason for doing so. The staff recommends that the board continue that practice going forward with regard to the future years. Let me now turn to the request for comment with regard to the board's consideration of appropriate sanctions in a case where a firm has failed to cooperate with an inspection request. In the December proposing release, the board discussed the obligation of firms to cooperate with PCOB inspection requests and the possible actions the board may take in response to firms who are unable or unwilling to comply with those requests. The board stated that a firm's refusal to cooperate with an inspection request is a violation of Rule 4006 and may be sanctioned by the board. The board sought public comment on whether and how a non-U.S. legal conflict or refusal to cooperate due to a sovereignty concern should be factored into the board's consideration of the appropriate sanction for violation of Rule 4006. The board also requested comment on the possibility of requiring a disclosure by a principal auditor that itself has failed to provide information during inspection or that uses the work of a firm that has not cooperated with the PCOB inspection request. The board received a number of comments stating that the board should impose meaningful sanctions, including deregistration on firms that fail to comply with PCOB inspection requests, even if the refusal to comply is due to legal conflict. These comments stated that investors have an interest in the inspection of all firms auditing U.S. public companies, and that the imposition of no sanctions or weak sanctions in this situation would create an incentive for the firms to refuse to cooperate with inspections and could lead to regulatory arbitrage. Other comment letters argued that it would be unfair for the board to sanction firms that are forced to choose between violating the Act or their home country laws. These comments also argue that sanctions imposed on these firms could harm the relationship of the PCOB with its counterparts or could adversely affect U.S. issuers or their subsidiaries, since the applicable legal conflict would affect all audit firms in the respective jurisdiction. Staff does not believe it would be in the interest of investors or the public for the board to decline, as a matter of general policy, to take action with regard to firms that refuse to cooperate with board inspection demands. However, the staff recognizes that each case of non-cooperation may involve unique facts and circumstances, and therefore the staff believes that sanctions should be determined if and when it comes up on a case-by-case basis. This concludes my presentation of the staff's recommendations, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Rhonda. Are there any motions regarding this matter?
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion.
Mr. Addison.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board adopt Rule 4003G as recommended by the staff and instruct the staff to submit the rule to the Securities and Exchange Commission for approval pursuant to Section 107 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act.
Is there a second?
Mr. Chairman, I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Gelser and Mr. Addison. As Rhonda just outlined, the recommendation before the board is to adopt an amendment to Rule 4003 that would give the board the ability to postpone for up to 3 years certain first inspections of foreign registered public accounting firms that the board is otherwise required to conduct before the end of 2009. Before moving forward, I would like to thank Rhonda, Michael Stevenson, and Carl Callender, and their colleagues in the Office of International Affairs, the Office of General Counsel, and the Division of Registration and inspections for their hard work on what is a particularly complex and challenging project, and certainly to Suzanne and Mitch, who are standing by and ready to answer questions as they come up. I support the amendment to Rule 4003 and believe that the rule adopted today reflects a pragmatic approach. While it will result in a limited delay in the inspection of certain firms, I believe that, where possible, conducting inspections cooperatively with the board's non-U.S. counterparts is the most appropriate approach to meeting our inspection mandate for firms located outside the United States. The approach promotes strong and consistent oversight of auditors across global markets and also helps to conserve PCAOB resources. While the PCAOB is committed to engaging with its fellow audit regulators, at the same time the board is required by the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002 to conduct inspections of registered firms, including non-U.S. firms. Firms that have registered with the PCAOB must be mindful of the board's statutory obligation and authority to conduct those inspections and of the firm's obligation under the Sarbanes-Oxley Act and PCAOB rules to cooperate in the inspection. The board believes that most, if not all, legal conflicts related to inspections can be resolved through cooperative arrangements, consents, or redaction of certain information not relevant to an inspection. Ultimately, a refusal to provide information based on non-U.S. legal restrictions involves unique circumstances, and the board will weigh the facts and circumstances of each particular case in determining the need to impose sanctions. That said, foregoing productive relationships with home country audit regulators and coordinating non-U.S. inspections continues to be guiding principles for our inspection program. Although significant progress has been made in the international inspection program to date, as Rhonda outlined, the need to delay certain first-time inspections results from the substantial time and effort required to establish the necessary cooperative arrangements to undertake inspections outside the United States. I believe the rule amendment today will allow the PCAOB to continue its efforts to successfully work with its foreign counterparts while continuing to meet its statutory mandate and serve the public interest. The board's approach to sequence these first-time inspections over 3 years based on issuer market cap is designed to address risk and direct the staff's efforts to those firms with the most market impact. In my view, it is appropriate to continue the board's practical approach to conducting inspections of foreign registered accounting firms. When coupled with the transparency measures recommended by the staff, it appropriately emphasizes the need to coordinate and cooperate with local authorities to the extent possible, while simultaneously underscoring the importance of firms' compliance with U.S. law and informing the investing public of our continuing progress. I support this approach and continue to believe that it is in the long-term best interest of investors. Accordingly, I view the rules before us today as representing an important first step, and I support the staff's recommendation. I'll now turn to my fellow board members for any discussion, and we can move left to right today. We'll start with Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a statement also. As we've already heard, the amendment before us today would permit the board to defer for up to 3 years 49 non-U.S. inspections that would otherwise occur in 2009. While I support adoption of this rule, the decision is painful. Robust and timely inspections are the cornerstone of our auditor oversight program. Delaying the first inspection of any firm on whose work investors are relying is not something I take lightly. Deferrals undermine what Congress sought to accomplish in creating the board and in directing it to perform regular inspections of all firms, whether based in the U.S. or elsewhere, that audit SEC-registered companies. Despite these reservations, I believe that the deferral and proposed Rule 4003G strikes an acceptable balance between the practical difficulties of laying the groundwork for inspections in multiple jurisdictions and the board's statutory mandate. Those practical difficulties include grappling with thorny issues of commercial privacy, sovereignty, and cross-border information sharing. Resolving these problems requires the board to sit down with fellow audit oversight bodies who are often themselves new at the job. Obviously, that process, which must be repeated country by country, can be time-consuming. It's important to emphasize that while the deferral will delay some non-U.S. inspections, the bigger picture is that we have, and will continue to have, a very active foreign inspection program. As noted in the proposed release, the Board's inspections of non-U.S. firms began in 2005, and the Board has now inspected 140 non-U.S. firms in 26 jurisdictions. We recently published a list indicating that in 2009, we intend to conduct additional inspections in 27 countries. While Rule 4003G permits the Board to delay some first inspections, it does not by any means suggest that we're generally unable or unwilling to fulfill our inspection obligations as the non-U.S. firm. Further, in the case of the inspections that will be deferred under the new rule, we've tried to be mindful of the impact on U.S. investors. The Board does not intend to simply postpone the 49 inspections until 2012. On the contrary, despite the deferral, we intend to inspect this year deferrable firms whose combined issuer audit clients' U.S. market capitalization constitutes at least 35% of the aggregate U.S. market capitalization of the audit clients of all 49 of the firms. By the end of 2010, coverage will rise to at least 90%. The Board won't move one of the 49 inspections to a later year than is called for under this distribution without publicly describing the change and the reason. Conversely, there's nothing that would prevent the Board from moving up the scheduling of an inspection due to emerging risks or other reasons, and we'll certainly do that where appropriate. While I would prefer that no deferrals were necessary, I also believe that the process of developing Rule 4003G has had some positive consequences. First, the amendment is packaged with important transparency initiatives. On March 31st, the Board published a list of the 27 non-U.S. jurisdictions in which the firms that the Board intends to inspect in 2009 are located. The Board has also published a list of the 26 jurisdictions in which it's already conducted inspections. Both lists will be updated periodically. In addition, the Board intends to begin publicly releasing the names of all registered firms that have not had their first Board inspection within the original 4 years after registration deadline set out in the Board's rules. I think that these steps open a window into our international inspection program. I hope we'll explore ways to provide still more information to investors and others about the inspection status of all registered firms. The second positive consequence that I see is that the stretch out in the first inspection schedule also give the Board a bit of latitude to step back and review its foreign inspection program and take some steps to enhance it. I understand that the Division of Registration and Inspections is working closely with the Office of Research and Analysis in the Office of International Affairs to make sure that our risk assessment, engagement selection, and inspection planning are calibrated to take into account the differences in the audit and financial reporting environments in the various jurisdictions around the world. The staff is also considering how to better evaluate the global auditing networks and the various levels of risk related to referred work on audits of multinational companies. If Rule 4000G buys us a bit of time to apply the results of these efforts to more first inspections, I think that's all to the good. In short, while it's difficult to muster great enthusiasm for a rule that defers 49 first inspections, I think the recommendation before us today is appropriate under the circumstances. It's tailored to both the practical difficulties of an inspection program that must operate in multiple jurisdictions and to the Board's statutory investor protection mandate. I also believe that in the long run, it will give us the opportunity to improve transparency and strengthen our foreign inspections. Let me just conclude by expressing my thanks also to the staff that have worked on this project, especially Rhonda Schneer, Aaron Dietrich, Michael Stevenson, and Carl Callender. The issues involved here generates strong views among board members, and I appreciate the skill and patience with which you've all handled the project. With that, I did want to ask a few things about the proposal. You better begin with what progress we're making this year. The release indicates that we'll inspect this year enough of the 49 firms that could be deferred from 2009 to cover at least 35% of the total market cap of deferred firms. However, June 25th, I guess today, the year is almost half over. Are we actually making progress on that? Did we start, I guess, would be the first question prior to the adoption of this rule, and are we going to meet the goal?
Dan, by the end of July, we will have inspected two of the four firms that would meet that criteria for the 35% market cap and the number of firms. The other two firms are in Europe, and we are still in the process of discussing a cooperative arrangement with their home country regulators. And so if we're able to conclude and finalize cooperative arrangements, then we should have no problem in actually conducting those inspections. If we're not able to establish a cooperative arrangement, then it remains to be seen whether the firms will cooperate with a board inspection demand. From a resource standpoint or a logistics standpoint, we don't have any restrictions that would prevent us from completing those inspections.
Well, maybe that suggests a kind of corollary question. I think around Christmas time of last year, we adopted a rule that deferred the first inspections of some foreign firms that should have been inspected in 2008 into 2009. That was just a one-year deferral, so that work would have to be done this year. The SEC approved that rule, at the end of last month, so it's finalized in effect now. Are we going to meet that goal? And will we be able to inspect in 2009, this year, the firms that we deferred out of 2008 into 2009?
There were 21 firms that were deferred from 2008 to 2009, and by the end of July, we will have inspected four of them. The remainder of the firms are located in the EU, China, and Switzerland. And we are still in negotiations and discussions with the authorities in each of those countries. And so, again, if we're able to conclude negotiations and establish a cooperative arrangement with the authorities in those countries, then we should have no problem in completing those inspections. If we're not, then, again, it remains to be seen whether the firms in those countries will cooperate with an inspection board demand. But from a resource standpoint, from a logistics standpoint, CCB doesn't have any restrictions that would prevent it from accomplishing those inspections.
If we weren't able to work out those arrangements, I guess that would implicate then the other issues that we saw comment on but aren't actually doing anything with today. That is, what kind of sanctions or how we should proceed when there's non-cooperation based on legal obligations and whether that ought to trigger any disclosure obligations or other kinds of, say, non-enforcement consequences. There's been some discussion already about referred work or referral work. In other words, the situation where a non-U.S. firm is working on an audit of an SEC-registered company, but they're not the signing auditor. They're auditing maybe the subsidiary in their jurisdiction or something of that nature. As I understand it, when we set up this market capitalization schedule to decide on the order in which we're going to attack the 49 deferred inspections, we didn't include referred work. It seems to me that can have, if work isn't done properly, it can have consequences for U.S. investors, just like the work where the auditor is actually signing the opinion. Why isn't the referred work included, and sort of what's our attitude towards looking at that work in an inspection?